Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for the proclamation this day is the gospel. It is one of those hard sayings in Luke. Hard not because it's difficult to understand what Jesus is saying, but hard in the fact that it doesn't give us what we want. You see, the people come to Jesus and ask him about this great tragedy. And they want him as a rabbi to make a pronouncement about why it happened. And Jesus does no such thing. Instead, he turns to give them an answer that is totally unsatisfying. You and I ask those questions as well. We demand answers. Why is God doing this? Why should it happen this way? Why do I feel this way? What about those people over there that are suffering? Why, God, do this? Well, the standard Jewish answer was very simple at that time. They didn't believe that bad things happened to good people. It was a very comforting answer for those who were doing well. They believed that if catastrophe struck, it was because you had done something terrible, especially a terrible against God. Now, to go to this, you don't need to read Moses. Moses, of course, had the, St. Paul tells us, had all these things happen to cause people to die in the wilderness after they were rescued out of Egypt. But you can even go to Job, that book that is time from Abraham or so, and his three friends said, nope, you must have done something bad, and that's why God is punishing you. Well, they didn't see God as a God of love and mercy, so to speak. They saw God as one who was just. In the psalm, you may have recognized that justice and peace kiss. That's an amazing thing, because justice usually demands punishment. And to give peace usually is the absence of that. Well, so it's a mystery and a paradox to them that God would show good to somebody who doesn't deserve it. Well, other cultures dealt with this question different ways. For example, the myths of the Greeks and Romans said that the gods, whoever they are, once again, and were more like human beings. And they had their desires, their selfishness, their certain ways for people to act. And so they had character like humans did. And so they could, if they desired, meddle with people's lives to cause bad things. Of course, deeper than that, they believed in the fates. That once you were born, there were these three goddesses, so to speak, who wove out your life, and there was nothing you could do to escape it. In other words, they believed that DNA was the reason things happen. You've heard that before. Well, they just must have bad genes, or there must be something wrong from birth. That's why these things are going on. Well, we have two answers in our cultures. One is that it's simply fate, that it's like DNA. Or we talk about worth and repression and equity and, well, they must have done something to bring this on to themselves. And the underlying belief of that swept our culture is the idea of kind of a karma thing. Karma is supposed to be all spiritual, but we have raised it in the United States to say, well, if you do good things, you will have good things come to you. If you do bad things, you will have bad things come to you, and it's ingrained in us. And really, it's somewhat ingrained from everyone who descends from Adam and Eve. When life is cruising along, all is well, faith is also well. It's easy to be faithful when things are good. And when things go wrong, we say, well, I don't understand this. Because we look at God and say he doesn't play favorites or bend the rules for anyone. But yet all have sinned. All have sinned equally in the sense that the wages of sin is death. Across the board. So now Jesus answers the question. What about those who had their sacrifice mingled with Pilate? Do you think they deserved it? What about those whom the Tower of Siloam fell upon? Do you think they deserved it? And Jesus says, you deserve it. Unless you repent. And so, that is where we start with the hardness of the text. The Greek word here read is perish. And it's used throughout both the Old and New Testament to mean to be apart from God. To perish eternally. It doesn't mean legally dead or to have no pulse or brain activity. When Christ speaks of faithful people in the New Testament of dying, he says they fell asleep or entering into rest. That is a signal for us. We rest in peace until Christ's second coming. Unbelievers perish. So Jesus is addressing the issue of faithfulness. And there is divinity at work here. You see, Jesus Christ knew the people's hearts. He knew their faith, or lack thereof, to be more specific. He constantly refrains, if you do not repent, that is, turn from your sin toward God, then you will not have eternal life. And in essence, turn to me, for there is forgiveness. Now, Jesus is not issuing an angry threat. He's not saying, well, see, I'm going to get you if you don't turn. He is simply telling it like it is. If you think about it, Jesus is acting, once again, out of unconditional love and compassion. He's warning the proud people who come to him and think that their life is all together and that they have no burden of sin, that their life is blessed by God because they're having a wonderful time in this world, that God desires repentance. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Jesus Christ in the Gospel of John says, we desire to give you life and to have it abundantly. And so he is telling them, no one comes to the Father except through me, faith. And now, for the faithful people, he launches into a parable about a fig tree. Many people see this as separate teachings, that somehow they're not connected, that Jesus moves on to teaching about something else. But this is exactly what Jesus teaches about faith. He's teaching about himself and his ministry. He's talking about all the talk about God's mercy in the Old Testament and his forbearance. These people of God, whom he chose and planted, were to bear abundant fruit. And this goes on the personal level as well. He desires all people to bear abundant fruit, fruits of faith. And he found none. In his vineyard, this tree was not producing fruit. And we find that this has not been happening just one year. You could have a bad year. Those of you with fruit trees know you have good years and bad years. Not big. This has happened 3 years. And so the order is given. Dig it up and throw it out. That's what justice demands. That's what fate is all about. That's what karma is all about in the sense of the word of having good things. The tree has lived in a wonderful garden. It's been tenderly cared for. It's gotten enough water. It's gotten everything that it needs, but it still produces no fruit. So bearing no fruit, down you go into an eternal brush fire that is never quenched. Now, the fact that bad things happen does not mean that God is punishing you and deserving, and you deserve them. I know it sounds strange, but God does not punish you when you feel things are bad. He is dealing with you in His mercy, because if it were justice, there would be no continuing life. There would just be perishing. When you're feeling these things, when you're seeing things are bad on this side of eternity, you are seeing sin. You are seeing what sin naturally deserves. Not the full punishment, but a portion of it in this world. And so, don't mistake God's patience for His approval. Repent while you still have time. And so Jesus says He will also be doing things. That's what the parable is about. The vine dresser steps in between the master who desires punishment and perishing, and says, oh no, I know you're patient. Give me another year. Yes, I'll dig around it. Yes, I'll fertilize it. Yes, I will do everything possible for it to bear fruit. And if it does not, then we will throw it out. Jesus' mission is to dig up around you. Jesus desires your fertility through His death and resurrection. He gives you the waters of baptism. He flows out of His scripture, the words of God, so that you are strengthened to bear good fruit. He gives you His very body and blood to eat and drink, to fertilize you for the good fruits of repentance that God desires. So there is good news today. No matter what you think your situation is, good or bad, no matter what you say about your lives, Jesus makes no mistakes. He gives you what you need. He gives you His death and resurrection. Oh, I haven't been in the Word a long time. I haven't been in prayer for a long time. My life isn't what I would like it to be. Jesus is there for you. He died for you. He sends His Spirit to you so that you will have life and have it abundantly. If things are very desperate, if you see the world and understand that terrible things are happening, there is one thing that is necessary above all others. Repent. Believe in the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ, and look to His all-redeeming, life-giving cross, for that is where fruits of repentance are produced. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.